Okay, imagine you're just completely stuck. Like maybe you're trying to beat this really tough level in a video game
Yeah.
and you've tried everything, you keep failing.
Ugh, yeah. Or maybe you're trying to learn, I don't know, a new dance move or some sports technique and your body just won't get it.
Exactly. Or it could be a tricky problem at school,
Yeah.
or even just figuring out like how a new app works. You feel like you're just hitting a wall.
It's that really frustrating feeling, isn't it? Being limited by just what you can figure out yourself. But, well, usually, how do we actually get past that wall?
We ask someone else.
Right.
Yeah, we watch a tutorial online or talk to a friend who's done it before,
Right.
or maybe go to a teacher or even ask a parent or your sibling. You kind of tap into their knowledge, their skill.
It seems so basic, but there's actually a really profound wisdom principle behind that everyday action.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So today we're going to do a deep dive into this concept from One Buddhism. It's called the principle of the primacy of the wise.
The principle of the primacy of the wise. Okay, that sounds maybe a little formal.
It does sound a bit heavy, yeah, but the idea itself is like beautifully simple.
Right. So at its core, it's basically saying, let the wise person be your standard. Or maybe even simpler, just learn from people who know better than you.
Exactly. It's about actively going out and seeking the wisdom that's already out there in the world, especially, in the people right around you.
And the key thing is this wise person. It isn't some like famous historical figure or distant guru, right?
Not at all. That's crucial. It can honestly be anyone who knows something or can do something that you need or want to learn. It could be that friend who's just amazing at, say, organizing things.
Or your parent who always knows how to handle those awkward conversations really well.
Yeah. Or maybe your younger sibling who totally gets the latest internet trend you're confused about. Or yes, that YouTuber teaching you exactly how to fix your bike or whatever.
So they might not even think of themselves as wise, but they've got something valuable you can learn. And this principle, it's not just a nice thought, it's presented as like a fundamental life cheat code.
Ooh, I like that. A life cheat code.
Yeah.
Yeah, a way to unlock basically infinite growth, build better relationships, and even find this amazing sense of like inner freedom.
So that's our mission for this deep dive then, to really unpack what this principle is, where it comes from, who these quote-unquote wise people actually are, and really how using this idea consciously can like totally transform how you learn and how you interact with everyone.
That's the plan. Let's get into it. So, where did this idea even start? You mentioned One Buddhism's history.
Right, tell us about the roots.
Okay, so it gets back about a century ago to the founder, Sōdae-san, in Korea. And at that time, Korean society had these really rigid structures, things we would see today as incredibly unfair.
Like what kind of structures?
Well, really strict social classes, very defined gender roles, and a lot of age discrimination. Basically, these things dictated who could learn what, who got certain jobs, whose opinion even mattered.
Wow. So just invisible walls everywhere,
Yep.
stopping people from getting knowledge or opportunities just because of like who their family was or their gender or age.
Exactly that. Your potential was just capped by these arbitrary labels, and this created sort of a collective stagnation. Useful knowledge, valuable skills, they were locked away because people weren't willing or weren't allowed to learn from someone considered lower than them.
Yeah, that mindset of why would I, from my status, learn anything from them?
Precisely. And, if we're being honest, even though those specific historical barriers might be mostly gone, we kind of still create similar walls today, don't we?
Oh, for sure. Maybe not laws, but definitely in our heads or culturally. Like we dismiss someone's idea because they're too young or too old. Or we judge them based on their hobbies. They like that. What could they teach me? Or we even limit ourselves thinking, oh, I'm just not a math person, instead of asking the friend who actually is good at it.
That is exactly the modern version of the problem this principle tackles. Those internal judgments, those social labels we still use, they become barriers to our own growth. We judge the source of the knowledge based on stuff that doesn't matter.
Instead of focusing on the fact that we actually want to learn something.
Right. The principle of the primacy of the wise basically just shouts, forget the labels, forget the social baggage, just focus on the wisdom you need.
So if I want to learn Spanish, I should find the best Spanish speaker I can learn from, period. Not worry if they're older, younger, like the same music. Just can they teach me Spanish?
Exactly. It just frees you up. You can look for knowledge and skills anywhere, from anyone, and it helps dismantle those biases inside us that really shrink our potential learning network if you want to beat that game level.
Find the person who aced it, yeah, and learn from them. whoever they are. Okay, that makes sense. The history shows it was about liberation from unfair social rules, and now it's about liberating ourselves from our own judgments. So who are these wise people we should look for today?
Well, the sources give us a pretty helpful breakdown. They identify, like, five main types of people around us who embody this wisdom potential. Think of them as different angles for finding teachers in daily life.
Okay, five types. Let's hear them. Who's first?
So the first type is someone who has a better character than you. Now, this isn't about judging in a moral sense. It's more about noticing someone who consistently handles situations with qualities you admire. Maybe they're incredibly patient, or they have real integrity, or they're just genuinely kind, or maybe super resilient when things get tough.
Oh, yeah, like that friend who seems to never get rattled.
Mm-hmm.
Or someone you know who always, always keeps their promises, even when it's difficult. You can learn that composure or that reliability just by watching and asking how they think about it.
Precisely. Their actions themselves are a lesson. And you learn by asking about their perspective, their choices. Okay, second type. Someone with better leadership skills.
Leadership, okay.
This is someone who knows how to inspire people or organize a group or just guide others effectively towards a shared goal.
Right, that could be like your team captain or the president of a school club, or honestly, even just that person in a group project who somehow manages to get everyone working together smoothly.
Exactly. You learn from them about communication, maybe delegation, how to motivate people, how to navigate those tricky group dynamics. They have a skill in bringing people together that you can actually study.
Makes sense. What's number three?
Third category is someone with more life skills or just general wisdom they've picked up through experience.
Okay, this feels really practical. Like a grandparent who knows how to fix practically anything, or a mentor who's already navigated choosing a college or career path, or even just a friend who's like really good at managing their money or time.
Exactly. They've got that practical know-how, those insights from just living and learning, budgeting, problem solving, cooking, handling relationships.
Mm-hmm.
They have this wealth of wisdom you can tap into.
Cool. Fourth?
Fourth type is someone with better academic or technical skills in a specific field.
Okay, this is the more obvious one, maybe. Your math tutor, the friend who's a coding whiz, the art teacher, someone fluent in a language you want to learn.
Yep. They've mastered a particular subject or skill through study or practice. You learn from them through direct teaching, explanations, watching their technique. And then the fifth category. This one is maybe the most mind-expanding. It's basically anyone who knows more than you about anything.
Whoa. Okay, that really throws the doors open.
Yeah.
So that means my younger cousin, who's the absolute expert on the strategy for that new game.
Yep.
Or the person in class who knows, like, every single obscure fact about ancient history.
Yeah.
Or even just the neighbor who knows a quicker way to get downtown that I never knew existed.
Yeah, exactly that. It really requires humility, doesn't it?
Yeah.
To admit that even in areas where you think you're pretty good, someone else probably knows more about one specific part of it or just has a different valuable angle. This category literally makes the entire world your potential classroom.
Wow. Okay. So if you start looking at everyone around you through these five lenses, suddenly potential teachers are just everywhere. It completely shifts how you see people. Instead of judging, you're looking for what you could learn.
Which leads us right into the payoff. Why bother? Why is actively doing this so, well, transformative? The source material lays out four big levels of benefit, four areas of your life that get a major upgrade.
Upgrades sound good. Level one is for you.
Yeah.
This sounds like that infinite growth button we talked about earlier.
It really is. I mean, think about how we normally learn. Trial and error, reading on our own, maybe a class curriculum. That's all good, but it's limited, right? Limited by your own energy, your time, your current understanding. Using the primacy of the wise principle is like suddenly getting access to countless personal tutors, mentors, for basically any subject whenever you need one.
So instead of spending like hours struggling alone trying to figure out that dance move or fix that bit of code,
you learn from someone who can show you, maybe in minutes. They essentially transfer their hard-won knowledge, their experience, directly to you.
Okay.
What might take you months or years of solo grinding, you can grasp way faster by just leveraging their mastery. It shortcuts the learning curve. Your ability to pick up new skills, new knowledge, it becomes almost limitless. You're not stuck with just your own slow progress. You're building on everyone else's.
That feels like a huge advantage, especially today when things change so fast and you always need to be learning. Okay, level two, for your relationships, how does learning from others make you a faux social superstar?
Well, remember we talked about those judgments, those walls we put up? Often when we meet someone new, our first instinct is kind of compare or categorize them based on how they're different. Oh, they dress weird, they talk differently, they like stuff I don't get.
It can create distance, right? Or even little bits of friction sometimes. Our default seems to be finding reasons why people aren't like us, or maybe why we're better or worse somehow.
No, exactly. But when you consciously decide to apply this principle, your focus just flips. Instead of scanning for differences to judge, you start looking for knowledge or skills you can admire and learn from. Like, wow, they're really articulate, or I love how calm they stay under pressure, or, huh, they know so much about sustainable gardening, I'm curious about that.
So it shifts from they're different from me to what cool thing can I learn from them?
Yes, and that shift from judgment to like genuine curiosity and respect, it fundamentally changes how you interact. You approach people with more openness, real interest in what they know, what they offer, and honestly, that's incredibly attractive in any relationship.
Yeah, people like feeling valued, feeling seen for what they know or can do. It builds connection, not walls. That makes total sense.
Okay.
Level three, for our world, you mentioned building a dream team. How does that work?
Okay, think about any group that really performs well together. A sports team, a band, maybe a study group, a work team.
Right.
They succeed because everyone brings something different, right? Different skills, different perspectives. And crucially, they actually value and learn from each other's strengths. The star scorer still needs the goalie. The lead guitarist needs the bassist keeping rhythm. The coder needs the graphic designer.
And if the lead guitarist thinks they know everything about rhythm and won't listen to the bassist, the music probably suffers.
Exactly. So applying this principle on a larger societal scale means recognizing that everyone, no matter their background, their job title, their perceived status, everyone has unique experiences and knowledge that can help the whole group. It's about knocking down those societal barriers, like the historical ones we discussed, that stop us from using everyone's full potential.
So it's like a recipe for a society that's more effective, more innovative, and just fairer. Because wisdom can flow freely, and everyone gets to be both a teacher and a learner. The community gets stronger when, say, the elder's life experience is valued just as much as the young person's tech skills.
Absolutely. It fosters this dynamic where collaboration and lifting each other up becomes the norm instead of just competition or shutting people out. And that brings us to the final level up, which might be the deepest one personally. Level four, for your soul, escaping the prison of I.
Okay, the prison of I, that still sounds pretty dramatic. What exactly is that?
Well, in a lot of wisdom traditions, there's this understanding that a huge chunk of our stress, our suffering, comes from our ego, our sense of self, this identity we build up. In Buddhism, it's sometimes called asang.
Asang, okay.
It's that part of you that needs to be right all the time. The part that worries constantly about how others see you, that feels threatened if you don't know something, or if someone else knows more than you do.
Oh yeah, I definitely know that feeling. That little voice inside that insists, you should already know this. Or makes you feel dumb if you have to ask for help. Or makes you replay a conversation wondering if you sounded smart enough.
Yes. That's the ego desperately clinging to this image of being competent, knowledgeable, maybe even superior. It builds these mental walls, this prison where you're constantly defending the self you've constructed, constantly trying to prove your worth. Needing to know everything yourself is, frankly, exhausting. It's a heavy burden.
And the principle of the primacy of the wise is like a direct challenge to that.
It really is, because think about it. To genuinely learn from someone else, you first have to admit you don't have that particular knowledge or skill yet. You have to say, even just to yourself, okay, I don't know this, but you do.
Right.
That act of humility of just setting aside the need to already be the expert, it directly confronts the ego's demands. The ego hates admitting it doesn't know.
So practicing this principle is actually like training to loosen the ego's grip.
Precisely. Every single time you choose to learn from someone else, you're practicing letting go. Letting go of that need for intellectual superiority, letting go of the fear of looking ignorant. You're prioritizing actual growth and understanding over just protecting a fragile self-image. And each time you do that, you weaken the bars of that prison of I.
What's outside the prison? What happens when those walls get weaker?
Freedom, really. Freedom from that constant anxiety of needing to have all the answers. Freedom from the pressure to always perform, always prove yourself. You become more flexible, less defensive, genuinely more open to the incredible vastness of knowledge and experience that exists outside yourself through other people. It leads to a much lighter, more adaptable state of mind.
Wow. Okay, so this isn't just about like learning stuff faster. Mm-hmm. It's deeply connected to personal growth, maybe even inner peace.
It absolutely is. It's kind of a spiritual practice hidden within the everyday act of learning and connecting with others.
Okay, so as we start to wrap up this deep dive, maybe let's quickly hit those four big benefits again. Just to summarize why living by this principle of the primacy of the wise is so powerful.
Sounds good. So first, it's that ultimate strategy for your own fast, continuous growth, what we called infinite growth. Yeah. Unlock your potential.
Right. Second, it's a fantastic technique for building much deeper, more harmonious relationships because you're shifting from judging people to respecting their unique wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Third, it's really the key to building a smarter, fairer, more collaborative community or society, that dream team effect where everyone contributes.
And fourth, maybe the most profound one, it helps free you from that heavy weight of the prison of I, the ego,
yeah,
because you practice letting go of needing to be right or know it all.
Exactly. So for you listening right now, how can you actually start using this? We thought of a simple, practical challenge. Try a 1 week Primacy of the Wise challenge.
Ooh, a challenge. I like that. What does it look like day to day?
It's simple. Just commit for 1 week to actively find and learn just one specific thing from one person around you each day. It can be tiny.
Like what?
Like how your friend stays so organized with their notes, or a keyboard shortcut your colleague uses all the time. Maybe ask someone their perspective on a news story you don't fully grasp, or how they make that really simple, tasty meal, or even just asking someone how they manage to stay calm in traffic jams.
Hmm. Yeah, I could use that one. And the crucial part is approaching it with that open mind, right? Hmm. Consciously quieting that voice that says, oh, I should know this already, or PFT, what can they teach me?
Exactly that. Approach it with real humility and genuine curiosity. Just think, it's okay that I don't know this. I can learn this one thing from this person right now. You might be really surprised, not just by what you learn about the topic, but about how much wisdom is actually buzzing around you in the people you see every single day.
That sounds like a brilliant way to make this whole idea really concrete. It forces you to shift your attention outwards and just be open to receiving.
And when you start truly seeing the world and everyone in it as potential teachers, potential sources of wisdom, well, your learning just takes off, your connections get richer, and you end up cultivating a mind that's way less rigid, way more receptive.
And maybe here's a final thought to just kind of mull over as you think about this principle. Consider the paradox that often the path to becoming greater, to achieving significant growth, actually starts with the humble step of admitting you don't know it all and choosing to learn from someone else. And that maybe, just maybe, real freedom isn't found in possessing all the answers yourself, but in letting go of the need to.